today I'd like to talk about the biblical new year. January 1st, 2019 has occurred, and it always makes me wonder, you know, the world places significance on this time, but what does the Bible have to say? Is there even a biblical precedent for remembering the new year or celebrating it, or what should this call to our minds? I know January 1st is one of the darkest times of the year. I guess the sun is just beginning to start coming out a little longer, but it's winter. It's cold. It's dark. The days are short. There's often ice and snow or even fog all around. This is what we woke up to this morning. The new year for us begins in darkness and cold. But in the Bible, the new year begins a different way. It begins with spring. The biblical new year starts in March or in April, when the flowers are starting to bud, when the days are starting to lengthen, when the sun is out longer, when there's green grass and sunshine and new births, new life. Chickens are being born and calves are growing up. And it's a time of budding forth of flowers and blossoms and fruits. We see the beginnings of something wonderful to come. Spring is when we get to smell the fragrance of flowers like lilacs that are starting to blossom. The new year begins like this in the Bible. The new year is a time of not only light and beauty and color, it's a time of planting. It's a time of starting something new, investing in something that we believe will grow up again. The new year is a time for hope and expectation as we wait for growth to happen and we watch it right in front of our eyes. This is all that the Lord wanted us to associate with the new year. Even the seasons themselves, we're speaking to the spiritual principles we're to remember as the new year begins. So again, biblically, the new year was the first month, which was called Abib or Aviv, and it means a young ear of grain. It was when the grain was just starting to come. And again, it could be any day in March or April. In the Bible, there were actually some significant events that occurred on the first day of the first month. And I just want to start with a small history of some of those things. First off, the tabernacle was erected on the first day of the first month. And not only that, it was sanctified. It was cleansed. They removed all of the idols that may have been there from previous generations or previous leaders. They cleansed it. They got the idols out, and they not only removed what was evil, but they also cleansed it with the blood of a young bullock, symbolizing Christ, how his blood cleanses us from sin. And so the whole sanctuary was cleansed in the first month of the year, and the first day even. These things are to remind us that the sanctuary of our hearts should be cleansed as the new year begins. We need to examine maybe what idols am I holding on to from last year? What things do I need to get out of my heart, my house, literally even? And how can I, again, be refreshed with the blood of Christ cleansing me from all sin? These are the things the New Year is to remind us of. Not only that, but the first day of the first month was the very time that the waters dried from the earth when Noah was in the ark. It was the first day that he saw that they could start a new life in a new earth, in a new world. This was a day of promise. The first day of the first month was also the time that Ezra left Babylon to go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the land that had been broken down and destroyed. He began his journey the first day of the first month. It was a time of hopefulness, of turning in a new direction and starting something new for Ezra. The first day of the first month was also, interestingly, a time when the men of Israel, the Bible just says, the men with the strange wives, they were put away. I will lead you to understand what that means. But it was a time to examine relationships. Alliances that were not of God were to be put away at the least. It reminds us of that principle, that if we're entertaining people in our lives, they're not leading us forward in Christ, it's time to get away, get away from them. That happened on the first day of the first month. So it was a day of new beginnings, wonderful, fresh starts, spiritually, physically, relationally. God wanted to make these things new. Many other things happened during the first month of the year, biblically, including the people crossing the Jordan River. Ezekiel receives several important messages during the first month. The Feast of Pur with Esther happened then. And Joel had talked about the latter rain coming in the first month. And so these were all things that were going on in the first month, biblically. But the one I want to focus on now is the Passover. That happened beginning with the 10th day of the first month, which, if you were to kind of put it into this calendar, would kind of be like yesterday, the 10th day of the first month. That was the time that the lamb was taken for the Passover feast. And then on the 14th day of the first month, the Passover was sacrificed. The blood from that sacrificed lamb was placed on the doors of each of the people's homes. The people were gathered inside under the protection of the blood on their doors, symbolizing how Christ's blood was protecting them from the destroying angel. And so it was a time of protection. It was a time of recommitting to Christ and what he had done. It was a time of new beginnings. The Israelites that night left Egypt. They left Egypt. They left their land of slavery and sin, and they started their journey into a new and free life. So the first month is just full of significance, biblically, a time of new beginnings. One of the things that happened during Passover and in the 7 days following was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was to remind the people that they were to begin this new year with simplicity. The bread was not leavened. It didn't rise. And it was just very simple. It was something that could be done quickly. But it was still nourishing and good. So it was to remind them to begin with simplicity, to begin with purity, to begin with sinlessness. The yeast and bread could be equated with sin or symbolize sin at times. And so they were to begin without it. No yeast, no sin. Sinlessness was to begin their year. Humility. You can have a puffed up loaf of bread, right? Or you can have one that's more humble. Now, there is no sin against eating leavened bread or risen bread. There's no sin against that. But during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to remember that they could really get by and do well with the humility, the simplicity, and the sincerity that the unleavened bread symbolized. And so these were the thoughts that God wanted to place in the minds of his people as a new year began. So what does this mean for us? new beginnings. What new beginnings can we expect? How does this apply to our lives? In the Bible, when it talks about newness, there are four verses that really come to mind about new things. And the first is the new thing, which Walt read to us from Isaiah 43. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." This is a call to have faith. God is saying, open your eyes. Do you see the new thing that I'm about to do? Can you see the flower in the bud that is coming up? Can you see the promise that is here? Maybe we don't see it yet physically, just like we don't see the flower yet on that tree, but we see the promise there. We have the promises of God. This is a call to have faith. As the new year begins, we're called to have faith in the promises that God has made. Do you not perceive them? Do you not see what God has promised to do in your life and through you this year? He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness, meaning a way where there is no clear and easy and good way. I'm making a way there, and I'm making streams in a wasteland, a dry and deserted place. I'm going to bring something life-giving through it. These are the promises of God. So we're called to have faith as the new year begins, to see with spiritual eyes what God has promised to us, what he wants to do in our lives. So faith is the first thing we can apply to ourselves. Do you see what God is doing? The second is new life. There's a verse in Romans 6:4 which says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So newness of life, this is referring to baptism. This is referring to a new beginning spiritually. This points to the justification we receive in Christ. We begin by faith, and then Christ justifies us. He cleanses us of our past sins. And we are represented fresh, like coming up out of a bath, coming up out of the waters of baptism. And so we're to be reminded that we can start anew spiritually in this year. We can have newness of life. Christ's blood cleanses us, and we are justified because of him. The third verse about newness is from Psalm 43. And it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So the third verse speaks to God giving, inspiring a person with a new song. This is a call to the work or the sanctification process that God is going to do in our lives. The new song is sort of like, you could say, a special gift that God has given, something special for that person to share with the world, that many will see and then be caused to trust in God. It calls to the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, or the particular works he's given to us to do, the special project we may have on our hearts to accomplish, or the book we may want to write, or the musical piece we want to compose, or the service we want to do. But what is that new thing God is, that skill or activity that God has given you to do that will lead others to trust in God? It's like the seed that's planted, you know? What is this new thing that you're going to plant and start that's going to lead to growth, not only for you, but for others? So we're called to newness in this area of our works, of doing things according to the gifts that God has given to us. But what new things is God wanting to plant in your life? What new song or word or activity is he putting on your heart to do? Finally, we are called to see how all things are made new. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." The final new thing is about looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. This represents the glorification of the Christian. When we've gone from faith to justification to sanctification, and then finally glorification in a new world where everything is bright and beautiful, where the color and the beauty and the flowers never fade. Our minds are called to look forward to that time after Jesus returns, when all things will be made new. And we will not have to wait for spring or for summer, but it will be eternally that way. We're told that we can live as if heaven were now. We can live that way. We may not be in heaven yet. We're not, literally not there. But in our minds, we can be there. And we can start to live as if these things were real and true. And that is my challenge for you today. Can we begin to live in the biblical new year, in the springtime, which God has aligned with that season? Can we, in our minds at least, begin again? Start with faith in the promises of God. Be reminded that we are justified and cleansed in baptism. Move forward into doing the works that he plants in our hearts, these new things. And finally, live in the hope of the glorification that will come when God makes all things new. This is my challenge for us today, to consider these things and how Christ wants to guide you personally through each step. Maybe you feel like you're in one particular place more than another. Maybe you're in the place of just needing faith to see and to perceive what God could even begin to do in your life this year. But he invites you, see it. I am doing a new thing. Do you not see it? He invites you to take faith. Or maybe you feel that you just need a cleansing, a new start, that spiritually the last year has just run you down and there's been so much that you just want to start over with in every way. Maybe it's in a relationship, or maybe it's in your personal devotional life, or maybe it's just the attitude you have towards life or towards people. But whatever it is, you feel like you need a new start, and now is the time to receive it. Newness of life, Christ offers that to us. Or perhaps you're just brimming with ideas of things you can do, projects you can plan, ways you can serve. Now is the time to plant those seeds, start those projects, do those new things. Or maybe you're in the stage where you are just rejoicing in the glory and the beauty of what God has done in your life. And this new year is bringing you to a new and beautiful place, and you just want to rejoice in the Lord for that. And you have gratitude for the color and the beauty and the wonderful things he has brought to your life in this new year. And I invite you to praise God, to thank God, to share his wonderful works with others if you are in that stage of glorification in this world and are seeing the fruits of God's beauty in your life. What can we all do? What is there for each one of us here? I don't know what stage you may find yourself in or want to be in, but we can all begin, as the Israelites did, spiritually, in a sense, to partake in that Feast of Unleavened Bread and to start the new year with simplicity, with purity, with sinlessness, with humility, and with sincerity. These are things we can all do. And as we prepare our hearts that way, I believe that God's Spirit will guide us into all of these new things that are needed. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful that you are a God who does new things, who challenges us to have hope where we may have had none, who does new things, even though we sometimes see what seems to be the same over and over again. Open our eyes to behold the beauty, the life, the color, and the joy that you want to bring into our lives this year. Open our eyes to see it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song is 93. Spring has now unwrapped her flowers. Spiritually, let's stand and sing it. Oh, I'm sorry, 95. I wonder what 93 is. Dear Father, you know that we're in winter, but we pray that spiritually our hearts would take hold of spring and all that the new year was meant to promise and provide for your people. Let it begin in our hearts as we take hold on new projects, start new things, and receive your promises anew. Revive faith in our hearts and love for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.